You're listening to Gameplay Theme from Cal Ripken Jr. Baseball, released December 1992, composed by Brian Howarth. What's up, BG Maniacs? Welcome to another episode of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this week, covering shortstop, it's Bedroth.
Shortstop? Man, you're going to keep me busy. I prefer a nice, chill left field. That's my bag.
Okay. Maybe Dan can play shortstop.
That would be fitting, for sure.
Nah, he's a pitcher.
Okay.
Looking for a catcher. Real quick, if you'd be so kind, head on over to Apple Podcasts, just kidding, or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on. And drop us a quick rating and a review. Really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well. Patreon.com/RPG era. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing. And if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. He's not going to listen to this anyway. If not, continuing to listen to the episodes as they upload each week works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, Jexx and Zanku. At least they'll listen. Not like Dan.
Yep. No, not until we do that Call of Duty
episode. Call of Duty episode, yeah. He'll want a guest star on that one. We have new comments, I believe.
Okay.
A few new comments, if I'm remembering correctly.
It's actually been a while since we've recorded now, so that makes sense.
Yes, there's two new comments. They were left on Radio Hour, Volume 67. Okay. One of the comments was from somebody by the username of Orange, and they said powerful. Thank you,
Orange.
Alana Seddon said her husband rode.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that.
Something tells me these comments may have been auto-generated somewhere. I don't know that these are real comments, but in case they are, I want to shout them out. Powerful I get. Her husband rode, I don't get.
Is it R-O-D-E or R-O-W-E-D?
R-D.
Okay, my husband rode. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, that is not the name of a song. So, appreciate the comment. Feel free to drop another, and maybe it's going to be lyrics to a song, and we're going to get like a new comment every so often, and we'll be able to all put it together, and it'll make sense.
Maybe so.
It's possible.
Maybe so.
It's possible. But those are the only two new comments.
I feel like, did we have any in Discord? I know we've got somebody new in the Discord who jumped in and has been going through the backlog, Heat Override.
Oh, I am not going to scan through the BG Mania discussion. I do not think there were any. I mean, yes, there may have been comments.
It definitely got a little off the rails.
Heat Override joined and appreciate you joining. Mentioned some comments about some older episodes. There's likely some comments in there. Yeah, but.
I got a comment from Jeff via email. He said he listens to the 1986 episode, and it vastly exceeded his expectations. I'm assuming not because of us, but just because of the year. He said it was amazing to see two guys as experienced as you and me circle back to the bleeps and bloops of the very early days and still make everything sound fresh in terms of both music and commentary. Didn't hurt that we had Tim Fallon melt his face off with a beeper early on.
Nice. Hey, good comment.
He also appreciated me including You Can Say Hi in the January Radio Hour from...
Oh, nice.
From Bomb Rush Cyberfunk.
Indeed. Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. All right, Bedroth.
And...
Ready to play some ball?
Batter up.
Batter up, baby. If this episode were to post on time, it's very likely that it does not... But if this episode were to post the day that it's supposed to, then it would actually post on the day of, like, it's not opening day for baseball. because baseball opening day is March 28th. However, there is two games taking place March 20th and March 21st. Those games are taking place in, if I'm not mistaken, South Korea.
Interesting.
Yes. And it's the Dodgers against the Padres. So LA against San Diego. Both nights in Korea. So that's technically like opening day at this point because it's the first two games of the season. Baseball starts a week earlier this year than it normally does, which is why this episode was scheduled for March 20th. But actual opening day is the next week. Like every other team will play the following week. It's just the Padres and Dodgers those 2 days.
Gotcha. Well, all right.
But baseball now in full effect.
That's right. That's right. Baseball season, man. So if you had to pick a favorite sport, is that yours?
No, it is my second favorite, though. Football is my favorite.
Okay.
College more so than NFL.
Okay.
For football. I do prefer college football over NFL, but I like both, and I watch both regularly, religiously, basically. But baseball is basically the same way for me. Hockey, not so much. Basketball, less than hockey. Everything else, never, right? Like, I don't watch golf. I don't watch tennis. I definitely don't watch NASCAR.
Not a big lacrosse guy.
I do not watch lacrosse. Professional wrestling is my only other sport.
There you go, yeah. I bet lacrosse would be fun to watch if it were a big deal. It's a pretty active
Maybe.
Sport.
Maybe. Water polo. I don't watch
there
that.
There you go.
But beach I do volleyball. Watch and love. I do like watching beach volleyball. I also love watching baseball.
I know you always talk
for
about
many
MLB
different
the show
reasons.
Every year.
Yeah, well, actually, Dan, speaking of Dan earlier, making fun of him as I usually do, but he runs a fantasy baseball league that he's been running since 2009, and it's on ESPN. So this league has been going now for 15 years. I joined it 4 years ago when they had to replace a manager. I'd been wanting to join for quite some time, but it's an 8-person league and it was full. But when somebody wanted to stop doing it, I took their team, and it's the most fun I have every year doing fantasy sports.
That's cool.
I really, really like baseball, and I also really like baseball games still to this day.
Yeah, I did enjoy baseball games back in the day. I played Little League, never really played baseball beyond that, never watched it too much. I do enjoy a good game now and then. I definitely got into the fever rush last year when the Rangers won the World Series.
Right.
And, you know, that was a lot of fun. And but yeah, I did enjoy baseball games back in the day. In fact, two of the games that I am bringing in my first block are... No, one in my first block, one in my second block are games that I played when I was a kid. I tried to bring more, but some of them just didn't really have great music. So these were some of my favorites, especially the one that's coming up in the first block is probably my favorite baseball game ever.
Nice. I, for my picks, I have played all of them, and I've played all of them quite often. So these, like, I tried to bring ones that throughout, because back on the NES and the SNES, I definitely played significantly more baseball games, but there were a lot more available. They started to slow down once, like, the Nintendo 64 PS1 generation hit, and by the time we got to the 2000s and beyond with, like, The Show and World Series Baseball 2K and all the other major baseball franchises that at one time existed and no longer do, now it is just The Show, mostly. There are still some, I guess, a few sprinkles here and there. But they all basically moved to licensed music. Right? Like, it's actual songs. Dr. Dre, Eminem is in quite a few of the ones in like the early 2000s, but it progressed from there. And we have done licensed stuff on the past, but wanted to highlight some more of the original stuff. So some of mine might not actually be the best of the best in terms of what we usually bring.
Okay. Well, mine are all...
Because this is Bedroth, need I remind you, this is not very good music.
Very good music. That's right. It's BG Mania, so we get a little wild sometimes.
Not everything we've, especially during the Frank era, not everything we've played on this show would be qualified as good. But well, I don't think I would qualify anything as bad in this episode. A lot of it is very average, including my opening track.
I could have dug deeper on mine if I really wanted to, but by the time I went through the stuff I could find on YouTube without even going to our other website that we go to, I already had like 8 or 9 tracks. So I was like, I'm just going to pick from these because these are all pretty good. So I've got a retro block, and I did have a modern block, and I was going to close out with one, and then I flipped. So I've got one more retro pick in my second block that is maybe my favorite baseball. It's a tune that gets stuck in my head even today. And in fact, your little closeout stinger always reminds me of this tune. So
that's funny. That's funny. Well, that closeout stinger is technically from tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I thought it was from a baseball game for the longest time.
No. Tag Team Wrestling was an NES game, right? And who was that published by? That was published by, was that Data East? I'm almost positive. It was published by Data East, yeah. Because I literally did that to make fun of Frank, because he hates Data East and hates that game. So that started because of that. And I just left it there ever since.
Oh, man. But it does sound like a baseball results screen.
It does. It does. You're not letting me transition.
Hey, you wanted me to play shortstop?
I guess so. The opening track came to us from Cal Ripken Jr. Baseball. We listened to gameplay theme. This was released on the Super Nintendo, composed again by Brian Howarth, and it released in December of 1992. I played quite a bit of Cal Ripken Jr. Baseball. I never did own this one. It was one that I used to rent from the local video stores at the time. Published by Mindscape, who I'm familiar-ish with, but I don't remember enough about to really know any of their games off the top of my head, but I'm familiar enough with that name. No clue who the developer is, Acme Interactive. I mean, I know Acme, but I don't think it's that Acme. The interesting thing about Cal Ripken Jr. Baseball is this was not a licensed game from the MLB at the time, so it didn't have, like, actual MLB team names in the game, real stadiums, or artwork or any logos, anything like that. The only person from the MLB that existed in the game was Cal Ripken Jr. Everything else was fictional.
That's funny. Huh.
But I really, again, I was big into baseball when I was little. It was my definite favorite sport then. Football has since become my favorite sport over time, but when I was growing up, baseball was my favorite sport. It was my dad's favorite sport as well. And I played a lot of baseball. So I was also doing Little League, and I played baseball up through pretty much all of elementary and slightly into middle school, but I eventually stopped. Likely would have kept going had my dad not passed away, but I did eventually stop. Gotcha. But because I was playing so much at the time, really, again, gravitated heavily toward baseball games on NES and Super NES growing up. So I didn't care what it was. If I saw it in the video store, I was probably going to rent it multiple times. I did enjoy this game, but I do like licensed games better. I don't know why I put an S on that.
I never played this one, and that's interesting. I don't have any SNES games on my list. I guess I didn't really play SNES baseball games.
Yeah, you
games.
Do not. I noticed that.
Did you ever play the Ken Griffey Jr. games?
I did, of course, yeah. Which we recently played a track from on the show.
We did, on our Rare episode, because Evelyn Novakovic did one of those back when she was Evelyn Fisher.
One of the, because I used to play those games often. One of the only reasons I didn't bring that, we recently played it.
Yep, I figured.
Yep.
I figured. Had a little bit of a preview.
But that bass, though, in that opening track, it's pretty much all that track is bass. Bass and snare drum, but the bass is predominantly there. Very, again, groovy bass line, but a quick loop. I think it loops around the 30-second mark or so, 33 seconds-ish. It's okay.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, got a nice little funky beat to it, and it's, you know, it serves. It is very serviceable.
Yeah, as Cal Ripken Jr.'s baseball was. Serviceable as it can be without licensed teams or stadiums or anything. Still can play baseball. It's really all you need, right?
Yeah. Now, see, I don't know as much about baseball lore. I know, of course, I know Nolan Ryan was a pitcher because I grew up in the 90s. So everybody knows that.
Hey, but, we'll be listening to a Nolan Ryan track later.
I had a poster of his up on my wall back when I was a kid, actually. So it's like one of the few sports posters I had because he was the Rangers' golden boy. And now he makes meat.
Yep.
What did Cal Ripken Jr. play? What was his deal?
Cal Ripken Jr.?
Uh-huh.
He played for the Baltimore Orioles when he debuted, and I actually think he may have retired with the Orioles. I think, yeah, no, he actually was always for the Orioles. So he played for the Orioles for 20 years, which is freaking impressive.
That's a long career, yeah.
If you think about it, but he was shortstop and third base.
Okay, cool. What did you usually play back when you played?
Third base.
Okay, there you go. Kismet. I think that's what that means. Jeff will correct me.
Cal Ripken Jr. was an all-star 19 times. Again, he played from 1981 through 2001. That's 20 years.
Man, 20 years.
Made all-star 19 of those 20 times. 19 times.
That's impressive. That's super
And
impressive.
Won the World Series in 1983.
There you go.
May have been the last time the Orioles were really good. But they're actually really good now.
I've got a buddy who was up in Baltimore for several years doing some work up there. And so he's originally from Texas, actually was in Houston for several years before he went to Baltimore. So he had a fun time when the Ravens played the Texans a little while back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
But he talks about the Orioles sometimes as well. So that's about the only reason I know what the Baltimore baseball team is.
Cal Ripken Jr. also found himself into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2007.
Cool.
First ballot inductee.
Very nice.
That's my opening track.
It's been a long intro, man. You want to go ahead and jump into my tracks? My NES block?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, starting things off, we are going to take a listen to Who's on Base, or Field Theme 2 from Tecmo Baseball, released January 1989, composed by Keiji Yamagishi. Next up, we're going to listen to Parts Shop from Base Wars Cyber Stadium Series, released June 1991, composed by Shigemasa Matsuo and Tomoko Sumiyama. Closing out my first block, we're going to listen to New York Stadium Theme 1 from Bases Loaded 3, released September 1991, composed by Tatsuya Nishimura. Coming back in, we are first talking about Field Theme 2, or Who's on Base, from Tecmo Baseball. And I never played this one.
Who's on First.
I know, right? Man, what a classic skit.
Who's on First? Tecmo Baseball is something that I've played, but I don't really remember. I know I played this, though. I don't really remember it.
Did you ever play? It may have been released in like 86 or 87 or something, but
is
yeah,
what
that's
I'm most familiar. Yeah, that's Tecmo. The one that I played most. Yep, Tecmo Bowl.
Sports game. What about the one that was just called Baseball? Like the Nintendo's.
The NES
Baseball.
Nintendo Baseball? Yeah. My dad owned that one, actually.
Okay, cool stuff. Cool stuff. This is one I never played. I am also familiar with Tecmo Bowl. That one I did play a bit growing up.
My roommate still plays Tecmo Bowl like once or twice a month with a buddy that comes over, and they just like hang out on the weekends and drink and shit. Like they play Tecmo Bowl.
That's fun. That's really cool, man. Yeah, I like this one. It's got
very old school rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely. Even though it's Tecmo, it reminds me of nothing so much as Konami's music for Ninja Turtles, like the first NES Ninja Turtles.
Okay,
it reminds me of some of the stuff in there. But yeah, it's definitely got that classic rock and roll feel. And I like the drums, too. It's got a nice shuffle to it.
Yeah, this is a good pick. I like this one.
I know for a fact one of them isn't. I don't think any of these are licensed in my first block. I think they're all just generic baseball games. So I'd be curious to see, who the teams were and stuff like that. But
Tecmo Baseball, from what I remember, had a national league and an American league, but it wasn't the real teams. Like they didn't have every city. They had teams from major cities, but it was not. And I think this game actually used like very similar names for players, but they weren't okay. real.
And I looked for music from, we'll have to see if we can find it. I looked for music from the game. I don't remember what it was called, but have you seen on YouTube the thing with like the Japanese idea of what American names must be? And it's just this guy reading these names from a baseball game.
I don't think I've seen that.
I'm going to have to share this with you, and you may even want to play it on the show.
I was going to say, that sounds extremely interesting, though.
Because I'm going to share it with you right now. It, I can't even look at this list without laughing. We're going to do this live. All right, here you go.
All right, let's check this out.
And here come our players. Sleeve McDykel, but... Willie Dustis, Onsen Sweeney, Jeremy Gride, Daryl Archidell, Scott Dorkew, Anatoly Smorin,
Sean Furcott,
Ray McScriff, Dean Wesry, Glenn Allen Mixon, Mike Truck,
Mike
Mario
Truck,
McElwain, Dwight Rochegal, Raul Chamberlain, Tim Sandale, Kevin Nogilny, Carl Dandleton, Tony Smerick, Mike Hernandez, Bobson Dugnut, and Todd Gonzalez.
Bobson Dugnut.
Oh, man, there you go.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that'll be in the episode. That's
okay.
Funny.
I knew you'd enjoy that. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
A whole league of fake American names. That's so funny. Sean spelled S-H-O-W-N.
Yep.
That's so funny.
Sean Furcott. And Todd Gonzalez. Oh, it's just so good. I think Shoot Kapow showed me that back in the day, and I still pull it up every now and then just to get a laugh.
That's funny.
But I tell you what game did not have a Todd Gonzalez in it, but I may have to look up some of the names from this while we listen back to it. Base Wars, Cyber Stadium Series. And
yeah, you said this is one you played a lot of, one that I actually have never played.
I did. I owned this one. I owned this one, RBI Baseball, and Baseball Stars. And I think any other baseball game I ever had, I rented. But those were the three that I played the most of. And this is the one I played the most of those three because it had a baseball skeleton around it. Like, it was definitely a baseball game. You had, you know, the four bases, the fields, the stands. You were hitting balls with a bat. You could get a home run. You're trying to get the first, second. You know, it's baseball. But
yeah,
you play as robots. Androids or cyborgs or whatever, and from waist up they're all just normal human looking robot dudes. Waist down, you've got a guy with tank treads, you've got a guy whose feet are like a hovercraft, you've got a guy who's just a runner, but you got different ones. And when you would be out in a normal game, because you run into a base and somebody already has the ball, instead, you fight, and it turns into a side view, one-on-one fighting game. No special moves or anything, but you either have like a sword or a machine gun or a pistol, and or you can jump, and like the guy with feet can jump and kick, and you can jump over bullets and kick people. It was the wildest thing, dude. And if you win, even if you would have been out, you're safe.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. That sounds really fun.
It was. It's a fun game, man. And I'm trying
really
to remember
fun.
Like some of the teams in Base Wars, but
I'm assuming again, like fictitious or fictional, whatever word you want to use.
Absolutely. Now you did have I don't even think you had mascots. I think that they were just established clubs from different cities, and the cities were real. But you would be playing as Boston or as New York or as Texas.
Right.
And, you had a cyborg, a flybot, which is the one that could hover, an M-cycle, which is feet are basically like a motorized unicycle, and then the tank. Oh, man.
That's funny.
So, yeah, Cyber Base Wars. And even if you look at the... Like, look at the cover, or I'll give you a picture of it.
I'm looking at screenshots.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
And you'll see what I'm talking about. It's
one's like literally tank treads, and the one on the pitching mound is on like a unicycle wheel, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, this game looks crazy.
It was fun as hell. Lots of good stuff.
Nice.
Then we move on to a game that I have not played much of this series. I did rent it. I don't think I enjoyed the view as much because in the Bases Loaded series, you're watching from behind the pitcher instead of from behind the batter. And I always preferred it from behind the batter. I don't know why. Probably because that's just what I knew. But from Bases Loaded 3, we're listening to New York Stadium Theme 1. And I just, more rock and roll, a little bit of a later era.
It is.
I love the squeedly needlies, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you pointed out something else about this track that I thought was cool.
This does remind me heavily, and it is the right era, right? Bases Loaded 3 came out...
1991.
When? September 1991. So there's a riff in the, like, one of the guitar riffs throughout, like, I guess, not necessarily the chorus, but... It reminds me heavily. It's not one for one, but it's very, very close to the Ultimate Warrior's theme in WWF at the time. It's very, very close. Again, not one for one, though.
Right, right.
But I played the hell out of these series, dude. Like, I don't know why. Probably because, again, for the time, it was the most well-known, and I do think, besides RBI Baseball, the most popular. But Bases Loaded 1, 2, and 3, which I'll have a track from 2 in my next block. It's the one I played the most of the three on the NES. And then I believe the series shifted to the SNES after 3. But I continue to play
it
until I don't remember until when. Maybe until... Because I think there was like a 2-year gap where no baseball game really came out that I played much of. And then I started playing All-Star Baseball on the Nintendo 64 once that started releasing. And that was like my main one that I was playing for quite some time.
Gotcha. Okay. But
yeah, this is the one that, again, the camera is behind the mound, right? So you're behind the back of the pitcher looking towards the batter. Nowadays with like MLB The Show, right, like when you're pitching, it's that view. It's very similar to what Bases Loaded had, but when you're batting, you're behind the plate, right, behind the batter, like you're used to seeing.
Okay, gotcha.
So it kind of like it's been a blend of, because that is the best, right? When you're pitching, it's nice to be behind the pitcher.
Yeah.
When you're batting, yes, it's nice to definitely be behind the batter.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense for sure. And looking, I pulled up a manual for Bases Loaded 3, and it looks like, kind of like Base Wars, you just have city names for your team, city or state names. And there's an Eastern Division and a Western Division. And the Western Division apparently uses designated hitters, and the Eastern one does not. So, but yeah.
So very similar to the American and National League and MLB, right? They just copied it and changed the name slightly, like most baseball games did at the time. They did. Bases Loaded 3 had Ryne Sandberg, I think, on the cover of the game.
And, okay.
Dan would be familiar with him, but he was the second baseman back in the day for the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, cool. The Cubs.
Dan's favorite baseball team is by far the Cubs.
Cool. What about you? What's yours?
Unfortunately, they are now called the Guardians.
Washington.
No, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
The former Cleveland Indians.
Got my sports mixed up for a second. Yep.
Which Dan, nobody was upset about. That actually should have been upset about it.
Right. Yeah. Like the people that you think would care.
Did not care. <cared. laughs> Yep.
Plus, I mean, come on. What about Major League? Can't go back and watch those movies. Look, the same
Chief
way anymore.
Wahoo.
Man.
They are the Guardians now. Also, a very, very big fan of the Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers. See,
Los Angeles
know some
Dodgers.
Of them. Los Angeles Dodgers. Brooklyn. Brooklyn had
Brooklyn used to be the Dodgers. You are right. They are in LA now.
See, I'm not right, but I'm not as wrong as I could be.
when did the Dodgers move out of Brooklyn?
This is exactly how up I am on baseball stuff.
1957, dude.
50, man. I'm not that old.
I knew it had been quite some time. They've been the LA Dodgers since 1958.
Must be because I grew up watching, you know, all the old like Looney Tunes and stuff like that. And so anybody who would have referenced the Dodgers, they would have been from Brooklyn.
There you go.
But man, that's...
Started out as the Brooklyn Grays in 1883.
Wow, 1883.
Used to be known as the Brooklyn Bridegrooms from 88 to... Dude, they changed their name like every year in the 80s, 1880s.
That's crazy business, man.
Oh, I thought that said the Brooklyn Super Bras, but it's the Brooklyn Super Bras. Dang, that would have been funny.
Super Bras. Man, that's triple D baseball right there.
Absolutely.
Looks like bases loaded.
That was good luck.
Had like a Chicago stadium, an LA stadium, and a New York stadium that were apparently actually kind of patterned after the big.
Oh, I imagine they were very, very similar to their real life counterparts.
And so this, I think there were two tracks for each stadium from what I remember when I was looking. And this was the first one for New York. So
nice.
But yeah, that was a fun block. And looks like we've got some NES coming up in your first block as well.
Yeah, we're going to keep the NES train rolling. Yeah, we're going to continue with two more NES games before shifting back to another Super Nintendo game to close out this block. But we're going to begin with probably my favorite baseball game from the NES. So let's go ahead and take a listen to All-Star Game from Bad News Baseball. This released sometime in 1990, and it was composed by someone we've already heard today, Kaiji Yamagishi. Up next, we're going to take a listen to Hit by Pitch Fight from Bases Loaded 2, Second Season, released in February 1990, composed by Sonoda. Closing out this block, we're going to take a listen to Game Theme from Nolan Ryan's Baseball, released in February 1992, composer unknown. Coming back in, we are first talking about All-Star Game from Bad News Baseball. Again, released sometime in 1990, composed by Kaiji Yamagishi, who we heard earlier, actually the start of your last block with Tecmo Baseball.
Yeah.
Again, another Tecmo game. Bad News Baseball, which you easily pointed out, right? Heavily inspired by Bad News Bears. Released in Japan as Gakito Stadium. So I think it was meant to, like, I think it was adapted into be reminiscent of Bad News Bears. But the, once again, it's not licensed MLB teams or anything like that. There is a Super League and an Ultra League. And the Super League had Boston, Detroit, Minnesota, Oakland, Texas, and Toronto. The Ultra League had Atlanta, Chicago, LA, New York, St. Louis, and San Francisco. But it featured, like, significantly younger, not necessarily kids, but younger-looking players. And the umpires were, like, rabbits and that kind of stuff. Like, it was definitely more geared towards kids. And the only mode in the, well, there was more than one mode, but the primary mode was a round robin tournament, basically, where you would pick the teams you wanted to go against and then just go against them one after another. But
gotcha.
I owned this game. It's one of the ones that I played the most, and it is probably, again, my favorite one from the NES, because it is one that I actually had, so I played quite a bit of. And I did like this one more than baseball, on which was one my dad owned. We also had one or two other ones, but of the ones we owned and that I had access to all the time, this one was my favorite one, because this particular track is called All-Star Game, right? So this was the first time that I forgot what the track was called for a second. But this was one of the first games that I remembered that actually had the ability to have All-Star Games in it. Again, look at the title screen, right, for Bad News Baseball. There's All-Star Game 1 and All-Star Game 2, so you could play All-Star Games separately. Yeah. And it would mix the rosters together, and you could actually edit them to be whatever wanted from the fictional teams that were in the game.
That's cool.
So I really enjoyed this game. I remember there was my dad's friend had a son, and he would come over quite often when my dad and his friend were hanging out. And we used to just go through and play either the round robin tournament or All-Star Game, like every weekend almost. This is one of the ones I would play the most. A simple loop. It's a good loop, but a simple loop.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. This is cool. I enjoyed this one. It's I was saying that lead instrument, it doesn't really sound like any real instruments, but it just, you know, it's a video game noise, and it's a very classic one that makes me think of the companies like Tecmo and Data East that just, you know, they had some good composers. They didn't really implement as thoroughly and effectively as some of the ones from like Capcom and Konami, but they still had a good ear for melody, and they came up with stuff like this, and, you know, just good stuff.
Absolutely. For sure. For sure. We move to another game that I did own. We're sticking with the NES. I referenced earlier that not every track on this playlist was going to be a banger. This is one that I was specifically referring to. We took a listen to Hit by Pitch Fight from Bases Loaded 2 Second Season. Again, this released in February of 1990, and it was composed by someone by the name of Sonoda, and that was in quotation, so I do think that is like, looks like a pen name or something, but from what I could find, I could not find who that was. This is a very, very short loop. 10 seconds maybe? Not even that. It might be 7 or 8 seconds. It is slightly less than 10 seconds. So I let about a minute of it play in the block. You heard that loop quite a few times. This is my favorite thing from any NES baseball game. Bases Loaded 2 is not my favorite baseball game on the NES. That would be Bad News Baseball. But the sequence when, because again, as we were talking about with Bases Loaded 3, right, the view for Bases Loaded is behind the pitcher. And one of the things that you can do is if you hit the batter with the ball, it can cause the batter to charge the mound, and it'll show it on like the big screen in the stadium, the batter charging the mound and kicking the shit out of the pitcher. And at that point you have the batter will get ejected. The pitcher will be not injured, but like taken out of the game because you just got beat up.
Yep.
And it'll give you the ability to select your relief pitcher that's going to come in, and it'll bring him in on the screen, like in the old fashioned cart that they used to use to drive the relief pitchers from all the way back in the dugout, because the dugouts are like way in the back of the outfield.
Yeah.
And the mound is right closer to home plate. So they used to bring them out in a cart. Now they just fucking run. But it shows them on the screen coming out in like the old cart as they go down to the mound. Dude, it was so cool because I had never seen something like that in a video game before for baseball. I used to just hit batters all the time. And this music plays when they're charging the mound.
That's so funny.
It doesn't last long. The sequence is like 10 to 15 seconds. That's right. Why this loop, the loop is so short. But it's my favorite sequence in the game.
That's so funny. That's... I could just see that, you know? It's like they took a little bit of a cue from, no, because this came out before. So it's like when they made Base Wars, they were like, what if it was like that from Bases Loaded 2, but every time somebody gets out? and ooh, and that's what if they so had funny. Machine guns? Let's make that's them robots.
And they ride around on tanks.
Yeah. Now it sounds like baseball.
And we call him Todd Bonbales or whatever his name was.
Mike Truck.
That's the guy. They could have called him Tank Abbott. That's a real name.
There you go, Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott,
yeah.
Tank Abbott was a fighter.
one of the first UFC guys.
Yeah. But I don't really have anything else to say on that track. Again, I just like the sequence. We closed out by taking a listen to the game theme from Nolan Ryan's Baseball. This did release in February 1992. This is a Super Nintendo game, so that we moved on from the NES, at least briefly. And composer on this one is unknown. I have no idea who composed this. Nolan Ryan's Baseball, not a game that I owned. A friend actually owned this game, and I used to play it at his house all the time. His dad was a teacher at our school, and this was one of the games that he would often bring to school, like if we were swapping back and forth to trade. And I remember getting this from him once. It was really, really fun. I don't think it's my favorite Super Nintendo baseball game. But I brought this track, you mentioned it, right? Very Americana sounding. And when you think baseball, right? The great American pastime. That's what people have referred to as for 100 years plus. I'm trying to see. I don't remember. Nolan Ryan, obviously, you said you had his poster. He was a Texas Ranger.
Yep.
And I believe he was a Ranger. No, he was not a Ranger. He closed out with the Rangers. So like... when I was alive, and when you probably were old enough to remember, he was a Ranger. He actually started out on the Mets and then went to the California Angels, which would eventually become the Los Angeles Angels, and also made a brief stop for 8 years in Houston and played for the Astros before ending up on the Rangers to close out his career. Honestly, one of the best pitchers of all time.
Yep.
Made the Hall of Fame in 1999. I was a big fan of Nolan Ryan when I was little. I thought he was just so freaking good. I don't think, though, that this game had... And it doesn't... Oh, it does say. I was trying to see if this game had licensed teams yet. Because eventually they did move to, like, licensed teams in games. But not yet. Nolan Ryan's baseball did not have licensed teams either. Nolan Ryan was the only one in the game that... Much like...
the Cal Ripken.
What was the game we talked about earlier? Yeah, much like Cal Ripken earlier, when Cal Ripken was the only licensed person, I guess, to be real in the game. Nolan Ryan, only one that was real here as well.
Yeah, it looks like this may have started out as a different game in Japan, and then it was brought over.
Super Stadium,
licensed, but brought over and adapted as Nolan Ryan's baseball.
Correct. It was Super Stadium in Japan, and then they added Nolan Ryan for the American audience.
Yeah, yeah, pretty big selling point
baseball,
in 1991.
Very, very big in Japan.
Yes, that much I did know.
I was lucky enough to draft, hopefully, the next superstar from Japan that the Dodgers signed this offseason, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who was like a freaking beast of a pitcher over in Japan's league. Now he's playing for the Dodgers.
In fact, there's a whole series called Jikyu Powerful Pro Yakyu Baseball that is...
very, very popular series.
Yes, yeah, from Japan, and has some really, really good music in it.
Yeah, we are not bringing any of those today.
Ended up just not bringing any of them this time, but yeah, definitely would encourage folks to go check those out. I forget what it translates to in English, but it might just be Power Pro Baseball or something like
Power
that.
Power Pro Baseball sounds familiar.
So, yeah. But, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. And I think that's going to do it for our retro
block. Take us to your block.
I do have one more retro game on my list.
I do, too. I have another SNES game coming up later.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
As well as N64, which also technically retro at
this
point.
There you go. There you go. You're not wrong. But my first two tracks are much more recent, and one of these I would never have found if I hadn't just been, like, scrolling a list of baseball games on YouTube. Man, the most random, and I love the picture.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this. Never heard of this.
So yeah, it looks like...
Only again, released in Japan, from what I could tell.
Again, popular in Japan, and just like baseball is off the charts popular in Japan, Winnie the Pooh is also huge in Japan. They loved him over there. And yeah, we're going to take a listen to Batting Theme from Winnie the Pooh's Home Run Derby, which is a real thing. Released in 2007, composer unknown. Next up, we're going to listen to Baseball Training from Wii Sports, released November 19, 2006, composed by Kazumi Totaka. Next up, we're going to listen to Game End Part 2 from Baseball Stars, released July 1989, composed by the SNK Sound Team. Back in, we are first talking about batting theme from Winnie the Pooh's
Battle Theme
Turby music. I mean,
should be battle theme.
Yeah, based on what everybody is saying in the comments and stuff, it's like, so this is a Flash game, and it's apparently very hard.
Very, very difficult. Yes, the game was released in 2007, again, Japan only, right? And it took like five, six years for it to really get noticed how hard this game is. 2012 and 2013, it went viral because of its extreme difficulty.
I know I said it several times when we were listening, but I just love the picture of Winnie the Pooh with his little feet turned in and he's holding his bat and squinting one eye, and he looks so serious. And
Tigger standing about 2 feet in front of him, ready to throw the ball.
Yep, man.
Not going to be a very hard throw, I'm guessing, hopefully. One of my favorite quotes I found when I was trying to find the composer, because there's literally no information on this game outside of this game is very, very hard. But one of my favorite quotes I found was from PC Games End back during the time when it released, saying the game rejects the laws of physics and fair play and would require a child who is able to bend time and space to their will to play the game successfully.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff from YouTube where it talks about this being like the soundtrack to hell, or this triggers me, gives me PTSD. But my favorite comment is from Heinz Doofenshmirtz 8643, 7 years ago. Peaceful music. Too bad I can't say the same thing for the game itself. It's anything but, especially past level 3. Kanga and Ru will make you rage.
And Rabbit, which is so funny.
And Rabbit is only easy in comparison to Kanga and Roo. He's still hard, and if you make it past him, Owl is such a pain in the ass. Tigger isn't a walk in the park either. And don't even bother with Christopher Robin, that asshole.
It's funny because one of the quotes on YouTube, or not YouTube, Wikipedia states, many people also felt that the game's difficulty led them into intense anger against the various characters depicted in the game, in contrast to the anthropomorphic animals' popularity as harmless children's characters.
Oh, man.
But a super chill track.
Yeah, for sure.
We're very, very Animal Crossing-ish.
It is.
Like our music from the GameCube, which would have been not the most recent Animal Crossing. I think Wild World would have released on the DS by the time 2007 rolled around. But it does remind me of like afternoon music, just walking around your town in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, it does. I can definitely hear that. This is just, it's super relaxing though, man. Contrary to everything everybody is saying, this is a very chill piece of music.
It is. It's very chill.
Then we move into another, very like the definition of casual. Wii Sports.
God. Grandpas, everybody had a freaking Wii for Wii Sports, dude.
Yep.
This is the most casual of casual any video game.
Wii Sports Baseball. This is the training music. And this game was like the Candy Crush of consoles, you know? Everybody and their mom.
That's
literally
why the Wii sold so well.
Yep.
Couldn't find it for years, dude. Remember, this thing was sold out for like 2 years. You had to get on a waiting list literally a year and a half after the Wii came out just to be able to fucking buy one, because everybody wanted to have Wii Sports in their house because, oh, it's great family time and we can have everybody over to play baseball. No, baseball wasn't that fun on Wii Sports.
You say it like that, but, you know, not baseball, but bowling. Totally accurate.
Bowling. Bowling was fun.
Yeah. My parents, who are now 80, you know, back then would have been, you know, in their late 60s, but...
60s, yeah.
They went over and played with my brother, who I've never heard playing video games. Like, I don't know if he does. We're not really that close. But my half-brother, he's in another state, went over to their house, and they broke out the Wii and played bowling, like, almost the whole time they were there. That's what they did when they had downtime. So, it's, you know, it brought people together.
Yeah, it did. But, man, motion controls suck, dude. They suck.
And we still
biggest
have him
composer
on the Switch.
We have on the list today, though.
Yeah, Kazumi Totaka. That's right. He's a good one. Speaking of Animal Crossing, you know.
Speaking of Animal Crossing, yeah.
And yeah, he was the main guy behind a lot of the Wii sound.
He was, especially early on.
Yes, and
but like Wii Channel specifically too, right? Like he did the music for that stuff.
He did. There is one instrument in this track that hasn't been in any of our other ones so far that I do think about when I think about baseball, and that is the Hammond B3 organ.
Yeah, true, because it often does play over the PA system.
Yep. Seventh inning stretch. Do, 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 do.
Very, very true.
We don't have Take Me Out to the Ball Game on here either. I heard a couple of chiptune versions.
There are some
that.
Renditions, but yeah. They're very short. Like, again, I brought a short loop earlier, so I guess we could have.
Yeah. Would have been our waltz again, for the episode, actually.
It would have been.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got a Wii short Sports. Loop coming up, too, that would have been, you know, I guess I could have, but... But man, I had to bring this next one, though. Game Ending Part 2 from Baseball Stars. Just such a happy, feel-good piece of music.
It is.
And this played when your results would go across the screen after you finished a game, as the name implies. And I can still picture the way that screen looked. And I was telling you, this will still, to this day, randomly pop into my head, and I'll just whistle it for a couple minutes and then move on with my day. But it...
And that's so random.
It is.
Like...
It is.
It's Baseball Stars. Like, it's not Super Mario Brothers 3 or anything like that from the NES.
But this is such an earworm, man. This little,
it
like, 30-minute loop is so catchy.
30-minute loop? No
second,
way.
30-second loop. Oh, yeah. You didn't notice? It's like... wouldn't have noticed, but like...
This wasn't composed by Dean Evans.
Yeah, it totally changes after the 15-minute and 27-second mark. Ah, but dude.
This is a classic one, and you had to remind me what Baseball Stars actually was. And you mentioned, right, there was like a sequence if you tried catching the ball near the fence, sometimes the players would scale up it and you'd see like the pixelated crowd and the player.
Yeah, and sometimes you could even fall into the crowd with the ball.
Yeah, and I remember that. So I feel like I had to have played Baseball Stars. I know I didn't own this one. It's very likely either I rented it or my dad rented it and I did play it. But it's also just as likely that something eventually copied Baseball Stars on the NES and also did that I'm thinking of that one instead. But
remember the label was yellow
to me.
With silver.
It kind of looked like Super Mario Brothers 3, right?
That said Baseball Stars. Yeah, it did from a distance.
Like,
it did.
It was like a yellow, and it kind of looked.
When I was walking up to my game shelf.
I think I have played this then. I think I have. But it's another one that I remembered that when you told me. But had you not told me that, I probably wouldn't have remembered that I might have played this.
Yep. That was my second block. Two more modern, still, you know, at this point, almost 20 years old. It's crazy, but but two more modern games, one still decidedly retro game, and my most nostalgic track of the night, for sure. But
nice.
Yeah, what do you say? You want to jump into your second block?
Let's go ahead and do that. We're going to kick off with another Super Nintendo track and then move to the N64 and close out with for sure our most recent game on the playlist today. But we're going to begin by taking a listen to Match Theme from 2020 Super Baseball, or Super Baseball 2020, however you want to say it. I think it was actually like promoted as both. Released in July of 1993, composed by Toshikazu Tanaka, Yasuo Yamada, Yasumada Yamada, and Toshio Shimizu. Coming up next, we're going to take a listen to Open Up Remix from All-Star Baseball 2000, released April 7th, 1999, composed by Left Field and John Lydon. Closing out this block, we're going to take a listen to All the Ladies from Super Mega Baseball 4, released June 2nd, 2023, composed by Chris B. Harris, featuring Daniel Kenneth Solovitz and Heather A. Ross on vocals.
This one goes out to all the invisible, indivisible superhero types rocking the mic. All the first evers, has-beens, and never words. Let's get it. It's the long-awaited moment when it all comes into focus, like the coming of the
coming back in, we are first talking about Match Theme from Super Baseball 2020 or 2020 Super Baseball. Again, this released July of 1993 and was composed by Toshikazu Tanaka, Yasuo Yamada, Yasumada Yamada, and Toshio Shimizu. This was a futuristic baseball game, which is why the track kind of sounds a little bit futuristic there. Actually originally released on the Neo Geo in Japan, and then I think would eventually release in, I think this was also an arcade game worldwide. I played the Super Nintendo version. It was also released on the Genesis and the Neo Geo CD as well. So the game definitely had a wide release there for a few years. I think it was like a stretch of 5 years. It was ported quite around. But it's funny, right? Because it originally released in 91. Futuristic baseball game set in 2020.
It was really weird in 2020 when they rolled out the baseball, the robot baseball players, you know? That was
right.
Unexpected.
Yeah, when the robots started playing baseball with their their military helmets and gear on, and what did they do in this? I'm trying to remember. You used to have the ability, because you were able to equip armor, and obviously these characters are futuristic, so they're wearing like this military grade gear and stuff from the future to keep them safe, I guess.
Yeah.
But you could buy like powerful armor, different like sensors and jetpacks and stuff that you could use in the game, and you could power up your hitting, fielding, pitching, or just overall robot. but like the stuff that you did throughout the game, like if you hit the batter or you struck out or you hit a home run or a single or something like that, you would earn batting credits if you did something positive, and that batting credit would equate to like money that you could spend in the shop to upgrade your equipment or character or whatever.
Cool.
And then doing bad, like striking out, you would lose money. Or if you were fielding, right, and you were pitching and you struck somebody out, you would earn money. But if you were batting and you struck out, you would lose money. So there was like a monetary system to how you performed and played. And they took a lot of liberties with baseball. Like they had changed a lot of the rules. It was not traditional baseball by any stretch of the imagination. You were able to power up. Again, it was meant to be futuristic, so it was like an alternative take on baseball. The primary core of the game is still there, but it's very different from normal baseball. Super fun game, though. This game actually has quite a cult following behind it, and I remember it being really fun. It's not one that I played a lot, but I did rent this because, again, it got a stateside release on a lot of different platforms. This was another one that I saw the cover of it sitting in, I think it was First Row Video at the time, in the town that I lived in, and super cool cover. I was like, man, these characters look really crazy. Went home, played it. Super fun. Super, super fun game. And a really cool track.
Cool. Yeah, you had a really cool block this time. All of these, I would say, qualify as cool music.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. One of the baseball games I probably played the most throughout my life would be the middle track there, the middle game. We listened to the Open Up remix from All-Star Baseball 2000. This released April 7th, 1999, and it was composed by Left Field and John Lydon. All-Star Baseball is the franchise that I switched to once the N64 came out. So I originally got All-Star Baseball 99, which came out in 98. And then All-Star Baseball 2000 came out in 99. 2001 came out in 2000. And then they had shifted because the N64 was pretty much over, right? Like the PS2 and GameCube and Xbox were knocking on the door in 2000 and 2001. So I remember getting All-Star Baseball 2002 on the GameCube, but it was around that time when Sega started putting out the World Series or Major League Baseball 2K games or whatever they were called at the time.
Yeah.
The ones that were developed by Visual Concept, which made the NBA 2K games, which I really, really liked. They also made great baseball games on the Dreamcast, which eventually would also start releasing on the Xbox. That became like my main game until they stopped doing that, and then the show eventually would take over. Because there was like a brief time period there where no baseball game really was coming out. I think there was an issue with licensing and player and stuff. Kind of like what happened with college football games and why we haven't had one in 10 years. But we are this year, thank God. yep. All-Star Baseball 2000. Man, the summer of 99, every freaking day, dude, I would play this game for probably 6 to 7 hours. I was so into baseball at that time. Again, I would have been 14 years old, like in that stretch of time period, right? Like 98 to 2000.
Yeah.
I was such a big baseball fan in 99. My friend that I lived in the apartments that I talk about sometimes, my friend that lived in the apartment across the next building over would come over. Much like Madden on the N64, like Madden 99 or Madden 2000. It was one of the two. I can't remember which one. No, it was NFL Quarterback Club 99. I actually do remember which one. That one and All-Star Baseball 2000 were the two games that we played all the time that summer. I have such fond memories of this game. This track is fun, and you picked it out, right? It's very reminiscent of the 90s vibe. Pump Up the Jam, very much, early 2000s music.
This was the soundtrack
pop music from the 90s.
Of pep rallies in my childhood, my high school.
Absolutely.
My high school career.
Absolutely.
Which was from 97 to 2001. So.
Yep. So very, very timely for the period.
Yep.
I have such fond memories of this game. It was so fun.
That's cool, man. I don't think I ever even saw footage of a baseball game on the N64. I was so over it by then. Like, sports were just not my thing. If I hadn't been in a marching band, I don't think I ever would have gone to a high school football game. Like, it's, I was just,
that's fair.
Yeah, it's never been my thing, but,
yeah, that's fair. Not for everybody.
Yeah, but I enjoy it now. Like, it's fun when I don't have any kids in high school band right now anymore, but when I did and we would go to the games, I would explain how the game worked to my younger kids, and that was always fun. So
very much so. Oh man, I miss baseball games, like going. I need to go to a professional game again, but even just Little League games are fun, or high school games. Like, I miss baseball games. Need to go see a live one again soon. Maybe I'll go see the Oakland Athletics play when they become the Las Vegas Athletics.
Yeah.
When they tear down the Tropicana and build the new stadium right there on the strip. That's going to be a traffic nightmare.
Man, I didn't realize that they were moving the baseball team too.
Yep. Huh. Vegas is going to have a professional team for pretty much every sport soon. The only one they're going to need after baseball is basketball, but there's already talk of the basketball team relocating to Vegas as well.
Hmm.
So Vegas will have a professional sports team for every major sport within the next 10 years for sure. They already have hockey and football. So
cool. They just need a lacrosse team.
Water polo.
Beach volleyball. Desert volleyball. Yep.
Man, perfect. The closeout track there. Definitely from the most recent game on the playlist by quite a margin. We took a listen to All the Ladies from Super Mega Baseball 4, which did release last summer, June 2nd, 2023. This was actually composed by Chris B. Harris, featuring Daniel Kenneth Solovitz and Heather A. Ross on vocals, which thank God we were able to see that on YouTube, because, man, that would have been impossible to find without. This is an original track from Super Mega Baseball 4. Now, I own Super Mega Baseball 4. Of the Super Mega Baseball franchise, it's not the one I've played the most. That would be Super Mega Baseball 3. Played that one significantly more than 4. Probably by like hundreds of hours more. I probably only put like 20 or 30 hours into Super Mega Baseball 4. I should not have purchased it. But I thought it was going to be like a really fun follow-up to 3, but it ended up being very, very similar to 3.
Okay.
Like, there's not much different.
Gotcha.
So there wasn't enough to keep me there, because I was already kind of bored with 3, which is why I'd stopped playing it, and then I picked up 4, and it was just basically 3.5. So I'm hoping that they'll continue this, because this was also the first one when the studio got bought out by EA and the game became an EA franchise. It also is the first one that sucked of Super Mega Baseball. And that's probably the EA touch, but I'm hopeful maybe that this franchise will continue. This is a really dope track, though.
Yeah, this is really cool. It's and again, sounds like the times. This hip-hop. Is definitely more modern, you know, hip hop.
Yep.
And
plus, again, it gives us a nice spread on a playlist that doesn't have a lot of variety.
Yes, very much so. We've definitely broadened things out in the back half of the show.
Yeah. And Super Mega Baseball 4 and 3 and actually all of them, they do let you play as male and female players. Like, they're intergender league. It's an intergender league, basically. So you have guys and girls on every team. Everything is fake, right? The players, the stadiums, the league itself. Super customizable. You can change everything. And that's what I liked and what I got hooked about with Super Mega Baseball 4. I had a league that I played for like 9 or 10 months straight that I had fully customized and was just having an absolute blast with.
Cool, man.
But did not do that again in 4.
Yeah.
I do, however, still, we didn't bring anything because MLB The Show, right? It's all licensed music. Every year, every March when the new MLB The Show comes out. Last 3 years, it's been on Game Pass. I haven't had to buy it, but I will for sure always pick up, whether Game Pass or if I have to buy it, the new MLB The Show and play that for about 5 to 6 months straight. The next one comes out next week, so I likely will be playing MLB The Show, nice, whatever year we're on, very, very soon.
Cool, man. Very cool.
What's your favorite baseball movie?
The Sandlot.
Mine too.
Yep.
I do really like Angels in the Outfield as well, though.
I like that one. I love Major League.
Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams is great, too.
I watched Major League and Major League 2 with my dad so many times that it's special to me. Field of Dreams is, of course, a classic, you know. But, yeah, The Sandlot is hard to beat.
Build it and they will come.
If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely.
You play ball like a girl.
All the ladies, baby.
He's an L7. Oh, man. Weenie.
But that was my close. That was my last block, but not our closeout. You have our closeout.
I do have our closeout, and it's a lot of fun.
It is.
The closeout is going to be Let's Play Baseball, or the staff role from Mario Superstar Baseball for the GameCube, released August 29th, 2005. And here we go.
Wait, are we not talking about it? Oh, are you just reading this out?
No, I'm not. I'm ahead of myself. I'm tired, even though I'm an hour earlier than you.
You're the one that wanted to keep going earlier when you got delayed.
That's true. I don't know what I was doing. But yeah, Let's Play Baseball from Mario Superstar Baseball. This is just a fun song, man. You got all the characters kind of sounding off. And
Mario, Luigi,
Mario, Bowser. Well, but it's,
and you just want to play baseball all the time.
Let's play baseball every day and every night and all the time. We love baseball.
Mario Superstar Baseball was fun, dude. I did play this on the GameCube. I want to say I owned it. I don't think I do anymore. I think it's one that I eventually sold. But I do really enjoy this game. It was never as fun to me, though, as Mario Golf, especially Toadstool Tour, the one that was on the GameCube. Mario Golf on the N64 was great, but GameCube Mario Golf was so top tier.
I heard that
that's the best Mario sports game.
And I heard the one on the 3DS was also really good because it had like an in-depth, like almost RPG style, like story mode.
It's also, I think that might actually be Frank's favorite one.
Yeah, I heard good stuff about those. And I never played this one. I played Super Sluggers, the spiritual successor on the Wii. I borrowed it. The one thing that was nice about it is you had the option to do motion controls or not. So
nice.
Yeah.
Smart.
So, but, and there have also been like baseball, I think, featured in some of the Mario Sports Mix games.
There have been, yes.
And I've never really gotten into any of those. I feel like some of the Mario Sports games have looked fun to me, like this one on GameCube and like Mario Strikers. But I just never got into them.
You know what you got to do, Beth? You know what you got to do, Bedroff?
I mean, I have an original Wii.
Let's play baseball every day. Let's play baseball every night.
Let's play baseball all of the time.
Those are the lyrics.
Yep.
Now you know the whole song.
There you go. Well, don't forget, we love baseball.
Yeah, we love baseball.
You know, I've got an original Wii. I wonder how much Mario Superstar Baseball goes for these days. What do you think?
Can't be much. Less than $20 on eBay.
Superstar Baseball GameCube.
I'm wrong. Probably why I sold it. Sells for like $65.
Yep.
On average.
Loose disc used, $50.
Yeah, probably why I sold it. Anything that had value that I had physical, I've mostly gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about physical games anymore.
I don't have a decent...
And I don't play retro games. I don't care enough to hold on to them anymore as I get older.
Gotcha, yeah. I don't have a decent way to play GameCube games anymore aside from my Wii. So if it's not physical, it's hard for me to do. But, you never know. We'll see. Maybe I'll stumble across it.
I told you, I'm probably going to be getting rid of some stuff when I move next month. Depending on what I get rid of, you told me to let you know.
That's true. That is true. yeah. Yep, you certainly did.
That's very possible. I'm going to be going through that shit very soon. So
this is a fun track.
It is. Good closeout. A perfect closeout for this episode.
Thanks.
Because, again, if it were to post on time, it would be the first day of baseball. So it's time to
let's play baseball every day. That's right.
Every day until October.
Like you're going to be doing with MLB The Show when it comes out soon.
That's very, very true. I'll be playing MLB The Show religiously until NCAA Football 25 comes out in July. As soon as that drops, it's over, dude. Like, it's been 12 years since I've played a college football game. I am so hyped. That is actually, sadly, one of my most anticipated games for 2024.
I don't know. It's not sad, dude. Come on. There's all kinds of nostalgia built up in that.
It's very sad. But that also makes Madden 25 one of my most anticipated games, because one of the things that I really, really like about college football and Madden games is that you can import your graduating roster, your seniors, every year from the college games into Madden. So you keep them going.
That's
so
super
I always
cool.
start them as freshmen in college. And I continue their path into the NFL through Madden and just keep them going. It's so much fun.
That's really cool. That's a cool feature.
Yeah. And it keeps their stats and everything from college from the previous game. I'm hoping it still does. It used to back on the 360, so why wouldn't it now?
Yeah, that makes sense, man. Well, I was just looking ahead at some of our upcoming episodes, and there's some fun stuff that we've got in the works.
There are a good stretch of episodes on the horizon once again. Starting in April, we've got some fun ones planned. Really looking forward to May, though. I think May is going to be super fun.
Yep, I think May is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some nice creative ones.
Should be fun. All right, man. Ready to close this one out and go play some baseball?
I think I'm ready. Ready to close out and let's play baseball every night.
Put on my lace up my cleats, put my glove on, run out to third and get ready. But I guess unless you have anything to plug, that's going to do it.
No, I mean, two usual things. Go check out youtube.com/shootkapow. Check out some of my daughter's videos and stuff. And check out the latest Beach Mania B-sides if you haven't yet. And let me know what you think. I'm enjoying the feedback.
Yep, the one that released on Berserk Boy.
Yeah, if no other B-sides have come out between then and now, then Berserk Boy by T-Lopes.
They shouldn't, because I think we've had like three B-sides and only like two normal episodes recently.
Okay.
Because I got behind again. So I need to catch up a little bit on normal episodes.
A little bit.
But yeah, there will be a B-side again before the end of March. I can promise that.
Okay, cool.
I just don't know exactly what day it'll be for you. Yet.
Nope. But I'll probably record it sometime this week just to get it done.
Yeah, but go listen to that Berserk Boy one, man. T-Lopes is so good.
He is so good, and it's a great soundtrack, and I think I'm probably going to bring another one of the tracks from that soundtrack to an upcoming playlist. So.
Oh, nice. I'm excited to see which one, because I don't think I've heard the full soundtrack yet. So.
Yeah, it'll be good
excited
stuff.
To see which one that'll be.
It's good stuff.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, that'll unfortunately bring us to the close of the show then for this week. We do want to thank you for staying with us, listening to another episode of BG Mania, made possible, of course, by RPG Era. If you like video game music, and more importantly, you like us and you want to help us grow the show, check the description box for ways you can do just that, including a link to join our Discord community. Click it, join it, and interact with us. Bedroth, I feel like it's been a minute since you've had the closeout. What are we closing out with?
We are going to close out with Let's Play Baseball, or the Staff Roll, from Mario Superstar Baseball, released August 29, 2005. Composed by Ayako Yamaguchi, Masai Sugiyama, Nobuhiro Ohuchi, Kenichi Takahara, and Toshio Kajino.
Keep the music playing and keep it loud.